Good morning. I just wonder how many are soldiers on that song, defending our freedoms here in America. You know, this weekend is the weekend that we set aside, a Memorial Day, to remember the men and women who fought and died, preserving our freedoms here in America. And at times I think we might take that too nonchalantly anymore. Not saying everyone in this household here, but we don't recall the great sacrifices that people have done. I was thinking this morning, my father's generation, when America was attacked, World War II started, and he quit school, joined the Marine Corps, floated around what they call the Pacific Theater, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Okinawa, place my father visited. And the men and women who voluntarily died, they didn't want to, but someone had to preserve this great nation that was founded. And those who went on before us, those who were memorized over there in the courthouse, and for those that upon our hearts, loved ones, are not here today because they gave the ultimate sacrifice to protect the freedoms of our nation. And it's a yearning in my heart that it's our turn now. You and I have been called to stand up on the principles of the United States of America, founded upon the Word of God, created, I truly believe, created in the hands of God. They fought under our flag, that's behind me. That's just a piece of material. It represents a lifestyle here in America. How many nations are around the world? How many people have looked toward that flag and said, man, if I could just be in America, if I could just be there, I had the freedom. Oh, to be broken free from the chains around me. A freedom that we're exercising today. We take it for granted to get up on Sundays, and maybe sometimes we complain, oh man, Sunday, I come to church. And I'm the pastor, I say that, no. But we don't mean that, we're thankful for it. We came in here today, and I don't think anybody here was stopped by Gestapo, looking for traveling papers. I know where you went. None of you here hid your Bibles when you carried them in the church today. You don't have to hide them anymore, they're on our phones. You know? But sometimes we can forget, in this nation, our nation has to stand up again. Men and women have to come together and stand on the principle of God and upon our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We have to do that. Hand it down to us. Otherwise, we are stepping on the blood of the men and women who sacrificed their lives to preserve this great nation for us. You and I are enjoying it. We have the greatest freedom of any generation. I truly believe that. Those who are my age or older. But there was a price that was paid for that. And we look now at our nation. We look now at our country. We look now at the enemy of this nation. We find our enemy is not across the sea, but they're here in America. And we need to stand up against this stuff. It's going to cost you. Yes. As it cost them who came before us. But we have to stand up. Call evil where we find it. And hold it accountable. That's your responsibility, my responsibility. If you're sitting here thinking, well, don't start talking politics, preacher, I'm going to tell you. Right there's the door. Get out there. Because our God Almighty, Jesus Christ Himself, stood up against the political powers when He walked upon this earth. That's why they hated him. He was speaking truth. He was standing for freedom, set people free. And they hated him so mad, much they had him crucified, which was the ultimate weapon the master came anyway. But folks, we cannot sit in this country anymore and allow them to pass laws that's going to mutilate our children, to cut off their organs that God created them, men and women, boys and girls. We can no longer tolerate the murdering of our children through abortion on demand. We have to stand up for this country. Otherwise, this country will have nothing left in it. God says that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened us. So we have no excuse not to stand up and present the truth wherever we find it. And being prepared to be cast down by others, backs turned on us. There's a slim time left for this country. Not for God. Nobody ever get rid of God. But for this country to be great power and the freedom fighters that are designed to be. Now, those who died, those who laid their lives on the line, fought for what we call the Constitution of the United States. I will not read you the whole Constitution today, all the articles. But it says, beginning of we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our prosperity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And there's 7 different articles of that Constitution. That's our framework, guys. That's our framework. We have to recognize what we have here in America and hang on to it and fight for it, stand up for it, fight for it, political voting, get out there and be involved with that. But we need to stand to make sure what God has established here is not taken away. He'll strengthen, He'll give us the power. The last couple of years we've been praying, God, that we seek His faith and turn from our wicked ways. He allowing the truth to be revealed more and more. But the truth only does us good if we take that truth and do something with it. Amen? It has to be applied to our lives. We've got to take a stand on that. You know, the First Amendment says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition a government for redress of grievances. That's what our brothers and sisters died for, protecting that. Freedom of your speech. Freedom of religion. We take that for granted. We don't know what it means to have to hide and sneak around to worship God. That freedom has to be protected, folks. And it has to be exercised. I know a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, myself included, when this pandemic started, and they suggest a curve. Remember the 15-day curve? I had no idea what was going on. We prayed and said, okay, we'll do what they say. And we tried that for 15 days. Then went 30 days. We said, that's enough. That was enough. The whole thing was trying to shut down your mouth, shut down the church. We were called to be insignificant. The bars were, the lotteries were, the Planned Parenthood was deemed to be necessary for the country. And they stayed open. But for the church to shut them down, it was a step of Satan still coming against the body of Christ. And the second one is we have a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amen? Folks, I know I've lost friends over this. I've lost people in the congregation that have left me because I stand for the right to bear arms. And I stand against the routine abortions. But folks, I'm telling you, we have to. Even Jesus Himself said to pick up a sword. One's enough. I mean, we have the right to defend ourselves. But folks, if we lose that amendment to keep and bear arms, there's nothing going to stop any enemy to walk through this land and wipe us out. We have to stand for that. We got to recognize. The Fifth Amendment says, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a present imprisonment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when there are actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. Nor shall be compelled of any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Why was this put in the Bill of Rights? Because that was taking place before we stood up. And we're seeing it taking place today, trying someone, they get set free, then to try a different angle. It's the same thing. On and on and on and on, and that is not correct. They cannot do that. But it's taking place in our country today. And the men and women that fought and died for us, they preserved this for us. They handed it down to us. It'd be like taking it out of my notebook today and say, okay, this is what we got for you. All right, son, it's your turn now. You protect that. That's his responsibility. What does he do with that? Does he stand up and say, wait, this is our Constitution, this is our Bill of Rights, you're not allowed to do this. Hey, Senator, you made a mistake, you can't do that. Hey, my state representative, you can't do that. Hey, Mr. President, you can't do that. You're a violation of our Constitution, which is our Constitution, not his Constitution, not her Constitution. It's the Constitution of the United States that men and women fought and died to preserve for you and I to live in freedom. And it's our turn to stand up, be vocal, to share that, and not be afraid of any backlash. Because our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, if the Lord would tarry, will pay a heavy price for those who turn a blind eye to what's taking place in our nation. And the last amendment of the 10th Amendment, there's 28, I believe, altogether, but it's the first 10. So the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectfully or to the people. Otherwise, saying big government does not control us. Individual states, we decide what we want to do. That's why we are called the United States. It's states come together united with a cause, but we're individual states. And we're getting so much closer and closer. They want to establish a government state. That you have no rights, individual rights. Hey, if California wants to do what they want to do, that's up to them. But don't bring it over to Ohio. We have the right to stand alone. Texas, every one of us have that. They're trying to use finances. Otherwise, it's cheaper to have everybody under one roof than have 30 different homes out there. And we could do that all. Today, we could all get done today, go home, pack up your clothes, and go to Rick and Lance on Cambridge Road, or give the address of the service, and move in with them. How much cheaper would that be? I mean, Rick and Lance would be paying the heating bill, the food bill. Wow! And look at all the money we would save. You know, we could do that. But the question is, do you want that? Do you call that freedom? Or do you call that existing? Do you want to exist or do you want to be free the way God intended us to be? We have to decide that. It costs money to be free. It costs lives to be free. But we've got to want that desire not just for us, but for the generation coming behind us. And stand up for that. Our country is bankrupt. We all know that. And it's just going on, and it has to be stopped. It has to be. We've got to quit spending money we don't have. It's time for every red-blooded man and woman who's able to work to get up there and work. God does not bless those who are lazy. Understand that. It's a crime to take from you to give to him if he refuses to work. You should never take anything from anybody. This outreach that we have now in America, the feeding program, folks, that belong to the church. Well, I hear no amen on that one. But it is. It's the church who fed the poor, or those in need. Every one of us, probably one time in our life, was in need for food. You know, we couldn't find food. We needed milk. We needed this. And where did we find that? We found it in the church. But the government came in the church and said, I'm going to help you out. Here, take our money. We'll help you do this. And what did they do? They put a stranglehold on the church. Now it's Big Brother who feeds people. With a cost. Wow. Well, folks, again, we need to stand up for America that was created. American principle. Are we perfect? No, we haven't been a perfect nation. But like King David, he wasn't perfect, but God said he had a heart. Had a heart after God, and we have that here in our nation. People say, oh, our Constitution wasn't created by godly men. You know, this guy was a womanizer, this guy was a boozer. Okay. Show me someone that never sinned. Can you sin and still have a desire to be better? And want better for the next generation? Yes. So today and this weekend, as we honor our men and women, just remember what's been established here. And because of you, it's not over with yet. Because of your love for our country and your love for Christ and the love for your fellow man, we're not done yet. I really believe the church itself, the body of Christ, our remnant, is getting the biggest breath of air it hasn't had in years and standing up and speaking out. And this nation will see truly what love is about, that we serve a God of love. But we serve a holy God. And we'll stand on His principles. You know, what was started years ago, what's been defended, and being defended today. It's amazing, there's still men and women, no matter how bad our nation looks today, still men and women signing up to go into the military to protect this great nation. And there's thousands of them today have their life on the line, willing to sacrifice it for us. I just pray that we'll always make sure that what they're sacrificing their life for is worth sacrificing for it. That's our responsibility there. And many of you here have already put your life on the line over the years to protect that. But this weekend, remember those who went to serve and never came home again. I got a poem I want to share, and then we're going to transfer from moral remembrance of our military people into those of our Christian faith. You might recognize the poem. It later on became a song. But yeah, just think about the men and women. You may have sang this around the campfires. I had it in the heart. It says, a beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shiny sea. O beautiful for pilgrim feet, whose stern and passion stress, a thoroughfare for freedom that beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thy every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, to all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. A beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, the alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shiny sea. Amen. as our brothers and sisters in the military fought and died in preserving their freedoms here in America. We're going to take a moment to look at our brothers and sisters in the faith who died, gave their life willingly to preserve the freedoms that Jesus Christ gave us through the cross. Think of that. We look at the military and their sacrifices, and then we look at our brothers and sisters for a moment, what it cost them. Again, I truly believe that remembrance is something that's needed. I'm going to look at Brother Peter for a moment, one of the apostles. In his final days, I mean, he preached the gospel. He denied Jesus one time. Jesus reinstated him. And it says in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, his last days, it says, Peter's final days in Rome are not described in the scriptures, but various traditional accounts have survived. Reportedly, he spent horrific months in the infamous Maritime Prison, a place where incarcerated was often itself a death sentence. Though mangled and mistreated, Peter survived the tortures and apparently communicated the gospel effectively to his guards. Eventually, he was hauled out of the dungeon, taken to Nero's circus, and there crucified upside down because Peter did not consider himself worthy to be crucified with his head upward like Jesus Christ. You may think, well, how could a man do that? How could a man be that strong? That be in prison for his faith, be in prison for, would not deny Jesus. How could he find that strength to do that? And today we are also celebrating Pentecost Sunday. This is a day that the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon the 120 in the upper room. And folks, that's how he was strengthened, to the Holy Spirit. He was sold out on Jesus. He knew that Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And even being in prison for his faith, he wasn't willing to surrender. He could have denied Jesus just to get out and pick up the cross again when he got out there. But how can you deny something that you truly believe in? And Peter went to the cross, hung upside down. So you think he should be crucified the same way that Jesus was. And look at Brother Paul, he says, the apostle's final destination this side of eternity was a spot on the Ostian Way, just outside the walls of Rome. Tradition has it that Paul and Peter were martyred on the same day. The former fisherman crucified in the city, and the former Pharisee beheaded beyond the gates. Both of them fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. They are two significant reasons why we can do the same today. Wow. Now, I know none of us here wants to see ourselves go the same way. You all want to have our evening prayer, asking God for the blessing upon our families. When we lay our head down on our pillow, fluff it up my pillow, and wake up in heaven. That'd be an awesome way to go, right? Amen. And folks, I prefer going that way. Amen. But we have to have it known that inside of us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the grave, the same Spirit that lived in Brother Paul and Peter, lives in you and I. You know? We know that things can come against us. Amen. We know there's someone else that hates us. His name is Satan and his demonic forces. They hate us so bad. And they keep coming against us, coming against us. We know that. But we truly, not a cliche, but greater the He that's in us than He that's in the world. And what comes tomorrow, the next day, we know that Christ will strengthen us to carry out what He's given us to do. Amen. So, truly, we want to rejoice in the day that we have today. No matter what's coming against us, rejoice. Thank you, Lord. We're still here. Talking to Brother Charlie earlier. You know, Charlie got a habit of saying, I say, how you doing, Charlie? Hey, God woke me up again today. I said, well, he's not ready for you yet, Charlie. Because there's still something here upon this earth. Because remember, our departure from this earth is a welcome home party in the presence of God. Now, come on home. So you're all here right now because God's not, he's not ready for us. In a good way. Because we still have work to do. That's shining the light of Christ. But that same Spirit, that supersonic power called the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we're going to talk about that again. This is going to carry over to next week. We're going to look in depth more at that Holy Spirit. I'm going to share a couple more of our brothers here. Of course, we... Oh, remember, I believe most of us remember Polycarp? Oh, my. I just remember him. I mean, follower of Jesus. Said he lived from 70 to 155. So he was about 85 years old when he was put to death. Loved Jesus, follower of Christ, taught people. Even when they came to arrest them, when the soldiers came to arrest Polycarp for being a follower of Jesus and not denouncing him, he looked at his captors and said, man, you must be hungry. Have a seat. And he fed them before they walked back. They were going to be put to death. He shared the love of Christ even during that period of time. Like Peter. I mean, people come, the guards come to know Jesus while Peter was in prison. He shared the gospel. Now there's Polycarp doing the same thing. He was taken and put in a fire pit. They were going to burn him to death. And they tied him up and they threatened him. I'm going to read that one part to you. Polycarp entered the stadium where Christians present heard a voice from heaven say, be strong, Polycarp, and act like a man. Because of his age, a Roman proconsul gave Polycarp a final chance to live. He just had to swear by Caesar and say, take away the atheists. At that time, Christians were called atheists for refusing to worship the Greek and Roman gods. Polycarp looked at the roaring crowds, gestured to them, and proclaimed, take away the atheists. He turned around against the crowd. The proconsul continued, swear and I will let you go. Reproach Christ. Again. Come on. Just speak against the Lord. Polycarp turned to the proconsul and boldly declared, 86 years I have served him and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? The proconsul urged him again, swear by the fortune of Caesar. But Polycarp replied, since you vainly think I will swear by the fortune of Caesar, as you say, pretend not to know who I am, listen carefully. I am a Christian. Wow. The proconsul threatened, I have wild beasts. I will throw you to them if you do not repent. Polycarp replied, call them, for we cannot repent from what is better to what is worse. But it is noble to turn from what is evil to what is righteous. Then the proconsul threatened Polycarp with fire. But he responded, you threaten me with a fire that burns an hour and is soon quench, for you are ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment and eternal punishment stored up for the ungodly. But why do you delay? Do what you want. Finally, the proconsul sent a herald to the middle of the stadium to announce that Polycarp was confessing his faith as a Christian. The crowd shouted for Philip the Azurarch to send a lion against Polycarp. But he refused. Then they shouted for Polycarp to be burned. And they moved him to the marketplace and prepared the fire. Polycarp undressed and climbed up. He took off his clothes and climbed up there. But when they were going to nail him, he told them, "Leave me like this. He who gives me to endure the fire will also give me to remain on the fire without your security from the nails." So they did not nail him, but tied him up. Bravely, Polycarp prayed as a soldier prepared the wood. I mean, he's showing, okay, I have no fear. You don't need to nail me there. I mean, can you imagine struggling, fighting, and they had a tie in there? So, oh, look how scared he was, didn't he? No. The one who's going to let me go through this fire will also give me strength to stay there. Then Polycarp prayed. He said, "O Lord God Almighty, Father of your beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have received knowledge of you, God of angels and powers of all creation and of the whole race of the righteous who live before you, I bless you that you consider me worthy of this day and hour to receive a part in the number of the martyrs in the cup of your Christ, for the resurrection to eternal life both of soul and body, and the incorruptible of the Holy Spirit. Among them may I be welcomed before you today by a fat and acceptable sacrifice." I find that humorous there, call himself fat. Okay, a fat and acceptable sacrifice. "Just as you previously prepared and made known and you fulfilled the deceitless and true God. Because of this and for all things, I praise you. I bless you. I glorify you through the eternal and heavenly High Priest, Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, through whom be glory to you and with him and the Holy Spirit both now and for ages to come. Amen." Making his statement in front of those who are getting ready to put him to death. The Romans had threatened Polycarp with beast and with fire, but nothing would make him turn against Christ. After his prayer, the man lit the fire, which sprang up quickly, but even the fire wouldn't touch him as it formed an arc around Polycarp's body. The Romans didn't know what to make of this. In the end, the Romans commanded an executioner to stab him. A great quantity of blood put out the remaining fire, and Polycarp bled to death. I find it remarkable where he said that, you know, this God of mine will protect me from the fire. One, to give me strength to go through the fire, also give me strength to stand there. And that fire, they lit it and went over top of a Polycarp, wouldn't touch a hair on his head. And they stabbed him, the blood put out the fire. And he bled to death. All because of Jesus. All because of freedom. And folks, that freedom is worth defending today. We need to do the same and stand on the principles of it. We have to be so sold out that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We have to be to the point that he did redeem us from our sins. That our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That we're just passing through this world. This is temporary, what you see right now. Woo! I got a place in heaven. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. But while I'm still here, we serve the Lord. He works through you. He worked through you this past week. How did he use you this past week? How did he use your lips to speak, your hands to touch? The things he blessed you with, you share with others. Christ is still alive. He's still alive. And he's working through us. The last one we'll look at is more modern day. In June of 2006, three gunmen shot and killed Pastor Heishman and his 22-year-old daughter, Merslin, as they returned from a wedding in, I can't say the country. And the 47-year-old Christian and Missionary Alliance pastor often ministered to Muslims in the region. Several Muslim terrorist organizations existed in the Philippines, such as Islamic Liberation Front, which had been linked to Al-Qaeda. Islamic terrorists belonging to the Al-Qaeda-linked Southeast Asia terror network, Jemaah-e-Islamah, were believed responsible for several bombings in Christian markets and other areas in Medina in 2006. Six people were killed and 29 wounded in one attack during an annual festival in a remote southern town of Maikaikala. According to police sources, the groups are attracting new converts to Islam in greater numbers than Muslims born into the faith. Again, some people say, well, how could he do that? I mean, he could renounce his faith. He could have turned and saved his daughter's life. But would he really save her life? No doubt the daughter saw Christ living in her father, the pastor. That strengthened her to stand in what is correct and follow him, knowing the cost. If he would have renounced Jesus, turned his back on the Lord, then what would have happened to her? So by standing, I believe, standing on his faith, he didn't cost his daughter's life. He helped her maintain her life, eternal life in heaven. And so we hear it today. Like the men and women who came before us defending our country, we gather here today as those defending their freedoms that Christ gave us. But he did not leave us orphans. He said, I'll send to you a counselor. I'll send to you one who will strengthen you. That is the Holy Spirit. Each one I shared with you today had the Holy Spirit that strengthened them to do what God's called them to do. He'll do the same for us. If our mindset is that Jesus Christ is number one in our life, that we're not deny Him, wow. And folks, it's awesome. Wake up in the morning and say, God, give me strength today. Give me strength to do what you called me to do, because I cannot do it. I was in a prayer a little while ago. Strengthen me today, Lord. I need the Holy Spirit to work through me today. I had my midnight shift syndrome kick in last night. I mean, I didn't sleep. We've all been down that road. So, Lord, I need you this morning to give me strength. And He has to bring this forth. But today we have a song we want to share with you. And then we'll finish up with praise and worship, okay? But this is a song really touches my heart. And it talks about us serving Jesus. And we pledge our allegiance to Him. And look around the room for a moment. You have brothers and sisters sitting here. You're not by yourself. When you're out somewhere and you're encountering, you're witnessing somebody, you're not alone. Number one, the Holy Spirit's with you, the Lord's with you, your angels have been dispatched around you, and brothers and sisters are praying for your strength to carry on and share the truth. Because each one of us here came to know Jesus because somewhere along the line, someone shared the truth of the need for Jesus. And we need to stand on that, and we can do that today. All kind of stuff's coming against the church, all kind of stuff is being said about Christians and all this stuff here. They said that about Jesus too, didn't they? They even called Jesus the devil. Wow. They were naive. And those who are attacking you verbally, coming against you, they're naive, number one. They don't know the Lord. Pray that you do come to know Him. But today the song, I really love the song, and it's called I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. And then from there we'll step into praise and worship there, you know. But I just we got a great nation. We got a great church, body of Christ around the world. We're not done with America yet. God ain't done with America yet. And we'll never be done with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He turn His face towards you and give you peace. And may you walk boldly into the Holy Spirit. May He continue to strengthen you, give you wisdom, give you discernment, and continue to use each and every one of us. And may we use the blessings wisely as handed down to us that God gave Brother Abraham. And may those blessings rest upon your self, your household, and generations coming behind you. And may we walk in strength and complete healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.